Let's take our Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Tomorrow night, Pastor Dad is going to bring the charge to Andy and Nathan. So tonight, this is not a charge. This is just a message for Andy and Nathan, and you get the charge tomorrow, but you guys can take this on board, and maybe somebody else can pick something else up as we go through the scriptures this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, would you stand with me as we open the Word of God together? Verse number 3, my answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plough in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing unwillingly, I have a reward. Sorry, willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God that you've given us, the testimony of Paul. Even as we read it here before us, we ask that you'd stir our hearts through it. We pray for these young men as they prepare to minister and serve you, that you'd give them the heart that you gave Paul the apostle, that they might have a heart for ministry, that you'd raise them up and use them to bring glory to your holy name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to take one thought with you as you go away tonight. Just one phrase, if you like, and that is, for the gospel's sake, for the ministry's sake, for Christ's sake and for love's sake. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 3, we read there, "Give no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Paul's life was a life lived out, conscious of the call of God on his life. He recognized that his was not a life to be lived for self-will, not a life that had liberty or freedom to do as it pleased. He felt a constraint of the call of God that directed every decision, public or personal, in his own life. It became the guiding factor, the direction, the hidden agenda in all of his decisions. With Christ at its center, the ministry that God had called him to was wedded to Paul when God called him. He says here in verse number 4, "Have we not power to eat and to drink?" The obvious answer is, yes, we do. He is not challenging that we should be brought under some legal system where we can't do these things. By the way, he's not talking about going out for a night on the town. He's not talking about alcohol here. He's talking about free living. He's talking about going down to the party. He's saying, am I free to enjoy life? And his real answer here is, yes, I do, but no, I don't. He asks the question then, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife? He says, Peter has one, the disciples have one, and I could have one, and Barnabas could have one, couldn't we? Is that not fair? Is that not legitimate before God? But for the gospel's sake, but for the ministry's sake, though it be a liberty that I could claim, it's something I'm going to lay aside. Paul recognized the ministry to be a constraining factor on his life. Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Should we really be out there working with our hands? And yet very diligently, Paul was a man whose hands worked not for only his own provision, but also for those who were with him. Who goes to warfare at any time at his own cost? Is it appropriate that I go out there and do those things? Is that a necessity? No. And yes. For the constraint of the ministry was upon him. He felt very much that ministry directed him to do much that was not necessary of him. It constrained him to let go of much that he could have claimed. He allowed the ministry to change and direct his life. Verse number 12. If others be partakers of this power with you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. We haven't taken advantage of all the opportunities we could have taken. The opportunities of ministry. Yes, ministry, it offers many opportunities. You get to meet many people. There are people who think, well, I'd love to be a preacher. I mean, the preacher is in high esteem. The preacher gets such a good salary. So many liberties that we might enjoy for the ministry. And Paul says, whatever you might think would be the liberties that ministry might offer, the ministry is now a constraining factor. Why do I lay these things aside? For him, it was a wife. He's not telling anybody that they may not marry. He's not charging anybody that they're in error if they do that. He's saying, in my case, I yielded that liberty because of this constraint. He's not telling everybody else that they should be working and paying for those around them. But what he is saying is, I laid that aside that liberty and freedom. He said, even the law shows that the laborer is worthy of his hire, but I laid that aside. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? For the ministry's sake. For the gospel's sake. For Christ's sake. For love's sake. He says there in verse number 12, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You know, we can tick the boxes and do the necessities. But that's not ministry. That's a job. If you want a job, there are plenty of jobs around. And that's a good thing. But if you want a minister, the ministry offers great opportunity for those who will yield to the constraints of ministry.